Welcome. It's now time for Ask the Governor, your chance to talk with the 56th Governor of Louisiana, the Honorable John Bel Edwards. Over the next hour, the Governor will take your questions. The phone number into the Louisiana Radio Network studio is 1-877-217-5757. I'm James from Longview, a longtime listener and caller. The Governor doesn't know that his staff asked me to record this introduction for today's show. It's a special show, Governor Edwards' 93rd and final radio show of his term. On behalf of everyone who has listened and called in, I want to say thank you, Governor Edwards, for making time every month to engage directly with the people of Louisiana and sometimes the people of Texas. Thank you, Governor, and don't worry, I'm still planning on calling in today.
And this is Jim Inkster, your moderator. I've been here all 93 shows, and Jerry Mayer of Hometown Productions has been here, either he or someone from his staff. And today there are many who will call, I'm sure, and many of whom are in the studio. We've got Tyler Bridges, the preeminent political reporter, with us today from The Advocate and The Picayune, and it is the final radio show of two terms of Governor John Bel Edwards. 93 hours, that's almost four full days we've spent together in this studio. Most of them have been here, but we did have pandemics, one pandemic, and hurricanes and other things that kept you away, but you always joined us telephonically, didn't miss one show, and we thank you for doing this, Governor, and I'll miss you every third Wednesday.
Well, thank you, Jim, and I appreciate you and the listeners. First of all, it's just been a great opportunity for me to share my thoughts and ideas with the state, but also to give them an opportunity to listen in and call and ask questions. And I do want to thank James for the introduction to today's program. He's been a very loyal listener and caller, and his questions are always relevant to something that's happening in our state around the time of the call. And so I appreciate him too. And then, of course, while I'm letting people know who I appreciate, I got Donna here with me today for our last show. And so I thank Donna for her work as First Lady and the things that she's done, not just to support me, but really to advance a lot of critical issues here in Louisiana. And I just think she's been an excellent First Lady. Couldn't be more proud of her.
She joined us in the first year, I recall. Much has happened since then, but you go back a long time.
We do. I can remember the day in the seventh grade. I was in the seventh. She was in the sixth when we met. And of course, courted through high school and through my days at West Point and got married shortly thereafter. It's been a great ride.
And as on family matters, you've had additions and subtractions, and those are always big events in your terms as governor.
Yeah, the additions thus far have been two sons-in-law because our two daughters got married, and then we expect to have our first grandchild in the next few weeks, sometime just prior to the leaving office on January the 8th. We're going to have a granddaughter, and we are very, very excited about that.
And Donna, we'd like to hear from you. And once again, if you'd like to get in, you probably need to call early, 877-217-5757. If you do get a busy signal, be patient, and you should be able to get in if you call early on. But Donna, good to have you back, and thanks for your service to our state as well. I know it's truly been a team effort going back even before 16 years ago when Governor Edwards ran the first time for the state legislature. You've been at his side, and I don't think he would do this without your encouragement.
Well, it's been a wonderful 8 years. It's been a lot of trying, a lot of challenging times, but we've enjoyed it, and we've been very humbled and honored to serve the state.
I mentioned 16 years ago. That was 2007. You were elected to the state house the year Bobby Jindal was elected governor of Louisiana. Much has happened in those 16 years, but I surmise that when you ran in 2007, you did not think 16 years later you would be finishing your second term as governor.
Did not have any idea that might happen. Had no intention of seeking higher office, to be honest with you, but appreciated the opportunity I was given then to serve in the legislature. It was a wonderful experience. And quite frankly, it was the start of Governor Jindal's second term that really caused me to want to run. I thought we were making some tremendous mistakes, disinvesting in our most critical priorities, particularly education and higher education. Really wanted to turn that around, and it was frustrating being one of 105 members of the House, even though I was the Democratic Caucus Chairman and we were able to do some good things. I just believed that I could have more of an influence over the direction of the state if I were governor. Decided to throw my hat in the ring, which I sort of announced here on your show earlier than I should have. And here we are at the end of my second term, and I'm just, Donna said it a while ago, humbled and honored, and I really am. I'm thankful for the opportunity that I've had and really the work that we've done in Louisiana on a bipartisan basis with leaders and rank-and-file members of the legislature and to a degree, quite frankly, that you don't see in a lot of states, and you certainly don't see in Washington.
Well, Tyler Bridges and I have seen governors come and go, and some really like the job, and others seem to be worn down by being governor of Louisiana. You seem to have liked it to the point where I surmise that if the governor of Louisiana had unlimited terms like other statewide offices, my guess is that no reflection on the guy replacing you. I think you probably would have been on the ballot if you'd had that opportunity.
I certainly would have. I mean, it's hypothetical, obviously, because the Constitution doesn't allow it. But I enjoy the job. I think it's really important. I believe we've made some significant progress. There's always some things left to do that you intend to do and don't quite get them to the finish line. And so I certainly would have run given the opportunity. That's not something that was possible. And so, quite frankly, we are excited about going back home to Tangipahoa Parish, being grandparents, and me resuming a law practice. So we're going to be just fine. But and the other reason is, and I think I told Tyler this the other day, is if you can run and you don't, it almost feels like you quit. And I've never quit anything in my life.
Well, at 57, John Bel Edwards is a relatively young person. He's 24 years younger than the president, 21 years younger than the former president. I'm sure there are many acts to come, maybe in public life, but in some way, I'm sure he will be making a difference, and he's at the ready, and we'll go to the phone lines after this quick timeout on Ask the Governor. You are listening to Ask the Governor, the 93rd and final installment of Governor John Bel Edwards' two terms in office. He is the only governor known in America to have done a show of this kind for two terms at any time. I think the last governor to do a show on a regular basis was Chris Christie in New Jersey. And you can imagine that was a different kind of show than this one. But the governor has not dodged any questions. And we've had more than 1,000 calls in 93 shows. So we've got some folks waiting in line. And the governor of Louisiana is ready to go. So let's start with Nick in Los Angeles. Nick, good afternoon.
Hey, Jim. Hi. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Governor. Good afternoon, Miss Donna. This is Nick Halaby. It's really good to talk to you guys again. And first off, I'd like to thank you both for the opportunity as I was given, but also the work that both of you have given to the entire state of Louisiana over y'all's 8 years of service. Just want to say, as somebody who was lucky enough to travel around with you, Governor, for a few years, your example of both leadership, but just the way you treated every one of your constituents equally and how their priorities were always your priorities was just something that we'll never forget. And I guess my question is, over your last 8 years, if there's any outstanding lesson that you can say that you've taken away from your time as governor. Thank you.
Well, Nick, first of all, thank you, and you did great work in the administration and for the state as well, and I hope you're doing well. And I remember all those days when you were working in communications. Look, and one of the blessings about this job is getting to know so many people. And then having so many really good, dedicated public servants working in the governor's office and in the various agencies of state government. And Nick was certainly one of those. You know, the outstanding lessons, one is the day you wake up and you're confident you know what your day is going to look like, you're making a mistake because you never know, which mm-hmm. is sort of good. It keeps you on your toes. But quite often, you know, those are those things that you don't anticipate can turn out to be quite challenging as well. So trying to be prepared, expect the unexpected, I should say, and just trying to be prepared for what comes your way. But I will, I guess one of the biggest lessons is simply surrounding when you're in a position of authority and leadership and responsibility. Surround yourself with the best people that you can get to take the job. And then your job is just so much easier. And we have been blessed, the first and the second term, but just wonderful public servants, who have all, every day shown up to work on behalf of the people of our state. And Nick was one of those, and there are so many others, and I just appreciate him.
Thank you, Nick. Alice in the Garden State of New Jersey. Alice, good afternoon. You're on Ask the Governor.
Hey, good afternoon, Governor, and good afternoon, Miss Donna. It's Alice Bazaki. I wanted to say thank you so much for 8 great years and for everything you both have done for the state and how proud we all are of you. And my question is, you know, you have done so many great things for education and for students in Louisiana. And I was wondering if you had a favorite teacher that you wanted to tell us about.
Oh, my goodness. First of all, Donna and I were blessed in school in the AME public school system to have many, many wonderful teachers. And some of them have gone on, but most of them have not. And some of them are listening right now. So I will just start at the beginning, and really I love all my teachers, but Nancy Carruth in the first grade was a very, very special teacher for me, and for a lot of reasons I don't want to go into, but there were some health issues and so forth, but she just could not have been more nurturing and loving and got me off to a wonderful start there, and she is a native of Greensburg, Louisiana, but she came in and taught in the Tangipahoa Parish school system in a meet. And then when I got out of the Army and came home, she actually taught our oldest daughter as well, Samantha, before she retired. So, Alice, thank you for the call, and I appreciate your friendship and your support as well.
Thank you, Alice. Thomas in Shreveport. Hello, Thomas. You're on with Governor Edwards.
Jim, thank you very much. It's been a long time. The last time you and I spoke was with our friend Steve Carter about the tax on tobacco.
I remember this is Carmody.
Governor, how are you, sir? You in the
my seatmate. I'm doing fine, Thomas. Yes, thank you. Yes. So, and by the way, thank you for the Christmas card that came in the other day. I appreciate
it
that.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful family. Absolutely.
Thank you. Here's my question for you, John Bell. You know I love Louisiana history. And Nick started to ask my question, but he did not answer what I'd like to ask you. A man can only do what a man could do. What did you feel like I wish I could have done?
What do I feel like I wish we had accomplished that we didn't?
I think that's what he's implying,
okay.
Yes.
Well, Thomas, thank you.
Yeah, for the next governor, yeah. The next legislature, what was the thing that you would still have thought, boy, I wish we could have done that?
Yeah, so Thomas, for me, there are two, and it should come as no surprise to anybody because we talked about it when I was running for governor in 2015. We've introduced bills every year to try to get it done. To me, it is just so patently ridiculous that the minimum wage in Louisiana is $7 and a quarter, and we've never done anything to try to close the wage gap, the gender-based wage gap in Louisiana that is the largest in the country. And those two things together trap people in poverty for no good reason, simply because the people aren't paid what they deserve to be paid when they go out to work. And it's not just them, it's their children and so forth. And I am well aware that practically nobody works for the legal minimum wage anymore. But just about every state has seen fit to do better than us in that regard. And so I wish we had been successful there. But at the same time, I don't dwell on that to the point where I fail to appreciate all the things that we have been able to accomplish in Louisiana. But it's a great question, Thomas. You made me really think about that.
Micah in New Orleans. Hello, Micah. You're on Ask the Governor.
Hi, Jim. Thank you. I am also, this is Micah for me. I'm also a proud PJB alum. So I'm happy to be calling in. And I've got just a couple of points. First of all, I want to thank you and Miss Donna for your service to the state. I know the sacrifice. We spent a lot of time sitting next to one another. So the lessons that I learned about integrity, and honesty, and hard work, and authenticity, really, I always told people when they asked me what it was like to work with you, is that you were just the authentic person that you were, whether you were in front of somebody or that car door slammed and it was just us. You were always the same. So I thank you for that. You know that I'm over at the Port of South Louisiana now, so I'm part of what you've done for this state. I want to thank you on behalf of all the ports, the commitment that you've shown, from doubling the port priority fund to deepening the Mississippi River Channel 50 feet. I think that along with everything that you've done, in my opinion, is going to make you one of the most impactful, positively, governors we ever had. And my question is, how much are you looking forward to you and Miss Donna just driving yourself in that classic Chevy truck that you have?
Well, Micah, thank you very much. And for those of you who don't know, Micah comes from St. Martinville Parish, and he actually worked for Scott Angell during the 2015 campaign. But we were friendly enough, Scott and Jay and I, that we got to know not just one another, but the people who worked in the various campaigns. And I was very happy after I got elected that Micah came and worked with us for a while. Donna and I think we're excited about going out and driving. The other thing is we don't have to schedule it way out in advance. You know, if we just decide one afternoon we want to take a ride somewhere, we're going to be able to do that. And of course, if it's a quick trip close to home, we might take that 66 Chevrolet truck. Donna really likes it because it's got that old bench seat and she can slide all the way over and sit next to me. it's a great question, Micah, but I'm looking forward to the long vacations where we drive wherever we're going. You know, I've got an invitation to go to Montana to visit one of my West Point classmates. I've got invitations to go to Maine and other places. And just the idea that we get out and drive and spend time like that, that's exciting for me.
What's your perception of the tone in American politics right now?
It's toxic, too toxic. And it just seems like there's... for the people who are in elective offices, particularly in Washington and in Congress, but to a greater degree in Louisiana too, than relative to the past, there just is not a penalty to pay for being extreme in your rhetoric and so forth. And I think that that's unfortunate because it prevents us from, I think the durable solutions to our problems are in the middle of the political spectrum, but that's not what's being pursued in most cases. And people are fickle, and so if you get to the extremes, you do something, but it's going to be temporary and it won't be the best solution. And I really wish. And Donna's sitting here beside me, but we start off every day and we pray together. And one of the things we pray for is for more unity and less division in our country and in our state. And that disunity, that division, I think is marked by the rhetoric. Mm-hmm. And it's not just among the people who are elected. It's the talk on social media, for example. It's very unfortunate. People have a tendency to speak out on social media and say things on their computer, on their phone, or whatever, that they would never say out of their mouth. It just wouldn't occur to them to actually say that when they were standing face to face with somebody, but they're willing to do it. And it's still toxic. And I just wish we could do better.
I guess one of the improbable happenings over the last year in Louisiana and American politics is your former law school classmate, Mike Johnson, not a political ally of yours, but what a meteoric rise to the speakership of the United States of America. And I presume that's good for Louisiana.
Well, it could be. Meteoric rise, it happened in a hurry, but why did it happen? Because we have a closely divided Congress, and a handful of people decided to depose the speaker that we had. And I think that indicates that Mike is going to have to really thread the needle carefully, because if he tries to keep the government open and compromise and get things passed, he might alienate, because they only have a 3-vote majority at the moment, enough on the far right to where they do the same thing to him. Or if he does everything that they ask, then he may alienate the moderates. And so he's got a very difficult challenge. But I'm pulling for everybody in office, because we're all Americans and we're all in this together. I hope he can be successful. One of the things about Mike that in that whole situation that I found very interesting is that he became the Speaker of the House, and we in Louisiana knew about Mike Johnson, but virtually nobody else in the country did. And they started trying to figure out who he was and so forth. And I've been able to watch that play out.
We have another half hour to go in show number 93 for Governor John Bel Edwards, 26 days to go in his administration. And Jeffrey Martin Landry will become the 57th governor of our state at high noon on the 8th day of January. And we'll talk with Governor Edwards about this and more. And we'll go to the phone lines, 877-217-5757. I see one line open if you'd like to grab it. You're listening to Ask the Governor. I'm your moderator, Jim Inkster, and Governor John Bel Edwards is in the house for his final show, the last half hour of 93 of them, and I'm sure he will be on other shows of this kind, but this has been his program, and he has taken callers from many states and just about every municipality in Louisiana over the course of 93 hours of programming. There is still time to get in under the wire. Perhaps you'll be the last caller for Governor John Bel Edwards, 877-217-5757, and we're honored to have in studio the First Lady of Louisiana, Donna Edwards, who met the governor when they were in grade school, and they're still together all these years later. Before we go back to the phone lines, you mentioned your association with West Point. You're still very close. So were those the seminal years of your life, the 4 years you were?
Yeah, well, first of all, they were special. I went up there, I was 17 years old, graduated when I was 21. And I talk about how I've been able to meet and work with and work for people here in Louisiana who inspire me and so forth. But the people that I got to meet and my close friends at West Point, just truly exceptional human beings and a huge blessing for me. And I am so proud of many of them. You know, the highest ranking officers in the Army today, many of them are from my class, and they're my close personal friends. The chief of staff of the Army, the Force Comm commander, you know, and the list really just goes on and on. And the other part of that is it actually made it a little more difficult between me and Donna, because I was in New York, she was in Southern Mississippi at Hattiesburg. But I don't believe I would be here as the governor had I not gone to West Point. I believe that having that as part of my resume in the time in the Army allowed some people back in 2015 to give me some consideration in my candidacy that they may not have given me otherwise. So I believe that it has really transformed my life in a lot of ways, not just enabling military service, but in many other ways, including making it possible to be governor.
I don't know of a bigger LSU fan than Governor Edwards, but he sat with the Army people during the game this year. And on your watch, LSU had two Heisman winners and a national championship.
Well, that's in football. We also had a ladies' basketball and baseball championship. And so, yeah, it's been great. But I'm also excited about the increase in funding, the growth in their the classes there at LSU, the qualifications of the incoming students. There was a Nobel Prize awarded to an LSU professor associated with the LIGO facility, if you remember.
I do.
So they're doing so many wonderful things there and across the state. And again, I think I said this at the outset, the number one reason I ran for governor is because we had disinvested in higher education more than anywhere else. And we're now seeing the fruits of our work because we're investing again. This year, $465 million more in recurring operational funding for higher ed than the year I became governor, but also the capital construction budget as it relates to higher education. We cut the ribbon Monday on a $79 million new academic center at the medical school for LSU in Shreveport. This is a large, impressive building. It is state-of-the-art, and it is chock-a-block full of the latest technology. There are very few medical schools in the country who have a facility like that. But it just shows what you can do. And that's going to help us recruit, attract, retain, mm-hmm. not just top-flight medical students who will become doctors and hopefully stay in Louisiana, but the faculty necessary to have a world-class medical school as well.
What do we need to do to keep people in Louisiana?
Well, we got to make sure that there's more opportunity available here in prosperity. And, you know, we have challenges, and certainly we have our natural disasters happen too often, and they're too severe, and there are other challenges as well. But I will tell you, I am gratified that we have the lowest unemployment ever measured, the highest gross domestic product. In fact, the 10th fastest growing economy in the country, faster than just about every other state in the South, with the exception mm-hmm. of Texas, but faster than the others. And at 3.2%, considerably more, faster than the country as a whole. And the highest personal income. We got, you know, the economic development in our state, the investment, has been setting records 3 years in a row, well over $20 billion in projects that have been announced by the economic development here. And so things are, I would never say perfect, but things are going really, really well. And the economic outlook from Dr. Lauren Scott, a net new 80,000 jobs over the next couple of years, largely associated with clean energy and mm-hmm. and low carbon energy in this transition with those investments. And so I feel really good about things, but those are the sorts of things that attract people, especially if they know that we're investing in education and so forth, which we are. It has everything to do with opportunity and prosperity. And when you invest in education, people know you're serious.
And Donna Edwards has been involved in various endeavors, lots of initiatives. What are some of the initiatives that you've been engrossed in that you have taken pride in, and as far as the results for our state?
Well, you know, I started the foundation, Louisiana First Foundation, when we first came in 2016, and focused on, you know, elevating the conversation of teaching music, art, and movement in our schools, and to continue to do that, mm-hmm. And the value of those in our school systems, and we'll continue to support that. Mm-hmm. Started working, John Bell and I both, with the foster care program through DCFS, encouraging them, and they've done amazing work through DCFS, and over the last 8 years, we've had over 6,000 children adopted out of the foster care program. So that's a huge accomplishment, and so proud of mm-hmm. that number. And then working with human sex trafficking awareness prevention, and we'll continue to work in that. And out of that, I started a national coalition with other first spouses across the country, and working. In fact, we just had a documentary called with Karen Swenson with WYES. It's called Turning the Tide, A Story of Hell, Healing, and Hope. And it's airing here on LPB this Friday. And so I'm proud of that. And we'll be airing nationally in January.
And I mentioned that the governor has presided over two Heisman winners from LSU. The listener notes that the governor on a previous show indicated that you actually taught a Heisman winner from the University of Alabama back in the day, didn't
you? In the music class. That's right. I think he was maybe in first grade.
Devontae Smith.
That's right. Yeah. I did. See? You see? Music has a lot of support there.
There you go. Let's go to Jace in Baton Rouge. You're on Ask the Governor with Governor Edwards. Hi, Jace.
Thank you, Jim. Governor, Ms. Donna, just want to echo everyone else and say thank you for your service and dedication to making Louisiana a better place for everyone. I have a two-part question. The first part is, why do you think the Independence Tigers are better than the Amy Warriors? And secondly, do you have any favorite memories from one of those legendary games over the years?
Oh, wow.
Well, first of all, Jace, thank you very much. I've known Jace forever and was very blessed to have him come in and work in the administration for a while, too. And obviously, he is from Independence, which was arch rival of Amy. And I have never, ever for a moment thought that the Independence Tigers were better than the Amy Warriors in any way, whether it was football or anything else. So I'm going to ignore that first question. The second one, you know, I just remember winning the football game my senior year against Independence while I was the starting quarterback. And that was an awful lot of fun. It was, I think, to an extent that you don't see today. But the activity on a Friday night during football season then was the football game. And nobody stayed home. Nobody was going out to eat. I mean, it was just everybody in the community would be there. And then, obviously, we have a lot of family and friends who are in Independence, and just being able to have really good relationships with them today. And in fact, my brother Frank is the police chief in the town of Independence today. So he's probably going to catch some grief after this program.
Marty in Baton Rouge. Marty, good afternoon. You're on the air with Governor Edwards and Donna Edwards.
Governor and Donna, how are y'all doing?
Doing fine. Thank you, Marty.
I just, more of a comment than a question. I was very fortunate to work with the governor and be around Ms. Donna for 6 years of my life. And I just want to let the public know how humble and kind y'all were during your whole administration. My first week with y'all was the week of the flood. And the thing that impressed me the most was when by 11 o'clock that night when they opened the River Center, you said you wanted to go to River Center.
Thank you, Marty. We do have to take a break, but we'll be back. And the governor of Louisiana is with us for one last quarter hour. 93 of these shows have been done in order since April of 2016 by Governor John Bel Edwards. The First Lady of Louisiana is with him, Donna Edwards, and they are partners. And I'm sure many of the decisions through the years have been in concert. And Governor Edwards, when you ran first time for state office as a legislative candidate, that you would have been 41 years old. Why did you enter the fray?
Well, probably something I wouldn't have done, but for the fact that we had term limits and the incumbent could not run for reelection. And that was Robbie Carter at the time. He actually succeeded me
right.
as well.
Preceded and succeeded.
That's right. And he's a good friend and has been a wonderful legislator. But the seat was open. And I had been working in the law office long enough that I felt comfortable that I could both run for office and, if elected, hold office without visiting too much hardship on my family or on the practice, and knew that I was interested in public service. I mean, that's just something that kind of goes with the family where I was raised and the example that was set by my father and grandfather and great-grandfather and so forth. Daniel had already been elected sheriff. It was just, I just felt the time was right, because typically you let somebody win and the incumbents win reelection and, you know, it would likely be a friend of mine and I wouldn't challenge him anyway. So sort of had to make the decision then. And I'm really glad that I did, because had I not run for a state representative then, the chain of events that ultimately, led to me becoming governor just would not have happened.
877-217-5757. Your number as we head down the Final stretch with Governor John Bel Edwards. Lauren in Baton Rouge. Lauren, you're on the air with the governor.
Hi, Governor and First Lady.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Lauren. It's great to hear from you.
My question is, I have very closely followed every single speech you have ever given over the past 8 years, and I was wondering if you have a favorite.
I hate to say this. It's sort of like when I say that I think the best thing I ever did, I did on my first day, because then people say, well, what the heck have you been doing for the rest of the time? I really believe, Lauren, and by the way, thank you. I hired Lauren directly out of LSU. She worked for me until about a week ago. And she was my speechwriter. And she, the finest work, I really believe, was the first inaugural address. Mm-hmm. And because that was such a pivotal moment in becoming governor, and knowing that we had tremendous challenges and trying to communicate exactly what we were going to do and how we were going to reach out to people and get it done. And the line in the speech, a couple of them, but one of them was the gumbo and gumption line that I really appreciated. And then just letting people know that there wouldn't be a challenge that we wouldn't meet. Very unmindful of how many challenges we were going to have in terms of pandemics and natural disasters. We knew we had a fiscal challenge, and we knew that we were going to be working with a legislature that had a majority of the opposite party and so forth. So we knew that there were going to be some difficult moments. But I don't think when we delivered that speech that day, we could have known just how important those words were going to be. So that was the one, Lauren. And not to say your work wasn't good after the first day on the job. I'm just letting you know I don't think it was ever better than that day.
And quite often, as you know, we're compared as a state unfavorably to our neighbors in Georgia and Florida mm-hmm. and Texas. But all three of those states, I believe, have not accepted the Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act. You did it on your first day.
Yeah, I think Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, and
all
some
of
others.
Them.
And there are not many, but they're typically in the Deep South. And as a result, you know, we've had over 500,000 of our working poor brothers and sisters achieve health insurance. Our hospitals are better reimbursed. We haven't lost a single rural mm-hmm. hospital in Louisiana. In contrast to the states that haven't done that, our percentage of uninsured is lower than the national average. When I became governor, it was one of the highest percentages in the country. And it helped us address our budget problems because, quite frankly, it's cheaper to put people on Medicaid for 10 cents on the dollar as opposed to paying 40 cents on the dollar when they're uninsured and get care, especially when the 40 cents comes from the general fund and the 10 cents comes from an assessment that the hospitals put on themselves so that they can benefit from that higher mm-hmm. reimbursement. And it helped us address the budget deficit. So it was the right thing to do for all those reasons. And, you know, I always have been and let people know this, I'm a pro-life governor, but for me, that's more than just the abortion issue. And I think the Medicaid expansion is a pro-life position to take. I mean, people have access to doctors and diagnoses and treatments and prescription medicines and mental health treatment and addiction disorder treatment. That is pro-life. That's why I hate the labels liberal and conservative, because if you tell people you're pro-life, then they say, well, that's very, very conservative. But my position on that issue comes from the same place, but on the Medicaid expansion, they would say that's very liberal. Why I just don't like the labels. Mm-hmm. I think they're just lazy shorthand to categorize and pigeonhole people when it doesn't really work.
It's a tradition that presidents, when they leave office, leave notes or letters for their successors. Will you do that for Governor Landry?
Yes, I will. And we also, in the desk at the Capitol, on the fourth floor of the Capitol, going back several governors, every governor has actually taken a Sharpie and signed the middle desk drawer. And certainly that. I've done that as well, and I'll leave a nice note for Jeff in the desk as I depart.
We've talked since Romer switched parties in the middle of his term. We went from Republican to Democrat every time, from Romer to Edwards, to Foster, mm-hmm. to Blanco, to Jindal, to you.
And now to Jeff.
And now to Jeff. So yeah. That would seem to indicate that Democratic hopes may be in the offing in the years to come. But right now, the perceptions that the party that you belong to is in dire straits. Is that overblown or is it real?
Well, I mean, I think both. I don't think those are mutually exclusive. So obviously the results that I would like to have seen coming out of this last election cycle did not materialize. But at the same time, those same things were said when I was running for governor in 2015, that it just couldn't happen. It was not going to happen again. And I just don't believe that. I believe that a good Democratic candidate for governor, if he or she gets out and works early and hard and travels the state and meets enough people and they have views that are in the mainstream and so forth, that they can be very successful, whether that's 4 years from now or 8 years from now. I think there will be an excellent opportunity to replace Jeff Landry with a Democrat. In the meantime, though, we elections, you know, have consequences. Jeff's going to be the governor. And I'm genuinely pulling for him. I want him to do well. I want the state to do well. I'm staying here. My kids are here. We're going to have grandkids. My business is here. And so I really want him to do well. Mm-hmm. I'm not solely focused on what happens, you know, 4 years from now or 8 years from now.
Producer Robin Dow has selected Matthew and Thibodeau as the final caller on Ask the Governor. Matthew, you are our final caller. Good afternoon.
Well, hello, Jim. Hello, Governor. Hello, First Lady. It's an honor to call in. And for any of those who are listening and hear a lot of people who worked for the two of you calling in, I think that's a testament to how proud we are of the work we all were able to do together and how immensely honored we are to have worked with the two of you for the people of Louisiana every day. So my question is, you have mentioned several times that the oncoming birth of your first grandchild, your granddaughter, and I'm just curious, when she is old enough that she's able to know what her grandfather, her grandparents did in this time in Louisiana, what is it that you would want her to know?
Well, Matthew, thank you very much for the call. I would hope that she is the beneficiary of the investments that we're making in education, meaning that early childhood education is going to be available to her in a robust way, as it will be to more and more young people all across the state, and that will continue. Because if we will do that for a generation, I think we will finally see the outcomes in education that we've wanted for so many decades. But when it comes to what she might hear about me and about Donna, I just hope that people tell her that we worked really hard, and that whether they agreed with us or disagreed with us, they know that we were doing the best as God gave us the ability to see what was the best thing to do, and that we worked really hard to achieve good things for the state, and that we love the state and we love the people in it. And I think Donna would concur in that.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Donna, and thank you, Governor. And I'm sure we'll see you different places as the years go by, but thanks for 93 great shows. Until next time,
thanks,
stay
Jim.
Tuned.
Jim, thank you.
Thank you for listening to Ask the Governor. The Governor takes your questions on the third Wednesday of every month on this radio station at this time. You'll find archived editions of previous Ask the Governor shows at jimengster.com.